visions of glory and endless delight. And in the meantime, we're on this planet, and things are less than perfect, some days far less than perfect, and we need each other. That was my lame attempt to do a transition into the announcement that I forgot to make. You have an insert in your bulletins about the pictorial directory. This is important to keep up to date, especially for visitors among us. I remember former church doing these pictorial directories annually like we did here, and somebody going through that pictorial directory was responsible for children's ministry, started calling these families because they had children of elementary age, and he called two families in that congregation who their last child was about to graduate, but their picture still looked like they were in elementary. Don't be that family. Get your updates regularly, pictorial directory, so that it's accurate, and especially for visitors can walk in, go through that directory, and have a chance at recognizing you and your children. That would be really appreciated. And check the back table there, right outside the door under the window, to update your information, because no sense in having wrong information in there. Somebody's trying to invite you over or whatever else, and they can't. So if you could do that, that would be really appreciated. We are looking at living in our identity and out of our identity in Christ. Powerful phrase, gets repeated throughout Ephesians here multiple times. So these first three chapters of Ephesians are really about inner identity. Here's what Jesus has accomplished for us and who we are in Him. And then the last three chapters, 4 to 6, outline living it out in relationship, in real places. Well, I said earlier, I gave you one story of a false identity. I said I'd give another one. I try and live up to my word. When I was born in Calgary, we moved around several times. We were living in the northwest Calgary. Fairly small house, but reasonable, 800 square feet, I think, in my family of six. And this guy comes asking for my dad, and I'm outside. My dad's working in the crawl space under this house, and he's asking for my dad. Well, he's down under the house. So this guy called to my dad a couple times. Dad's over there working, so couldn't hear him. And then he crawls in through the cubby hole, and I'm standing here outside the cubby hole. He crawls, and he turns around, and wham, right into the beam underneath the house. And he takes a step back like this, does a little wobble. I thought he was going to go right down, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was about grade one at the time. And then he gets his bearings again, and he ducks down, and he gets over to my dad, talks to him for a while. And then he comes, he finished his conversation with my dad, and I crawled in there by now and was watching what was going on. And he turns to leave my dad right into the other beam on the other side of the house. Again, he does this wobble, and I'm thinking, this poor man. And he'd completely failed in what he was trying to do. He was trying to contact the Harvey Burke. He succeeded. That's my dad. But my dad's middle name is way different than the one he was looking for. He's trying to give him a subpoena to come to court. And I'm thinking, even at grade one, I'm thinking, that is a job I don't want. Even if I don't bang my head, that's just a horrible job. Hi, you are subpoenaed to court. That's maybe somebody enjoys it. That's one I didn't want. But he had the wrong guy. It's a false identity again, and then he paid for having the false identity there too. And some of us laugh. I actually felt compassion on the man. So some of you are less compassionate than me. Terrible, eh? But our identity is so key. And we want to know who we are, and we want to know who we are not. I'm going to reread the verses that they read in the message for us. This will be in the English Standard Version. Should pop up on the screen there as well. Read along or flip open in our own Bibles. That would be great too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters. And yes, I can add daughters there, I'm convinced. At the time of this writing, all the letters to the churches would have went to the men first, right? That's where the men met. And then they would have passed it on to their wives and families and whatever else through that. So most of this says as sons, but it's written to all believers. Sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Amazing. There's so much in this passage. We could sit here all week discussing it. We won't. But I just thought I'd scare you. But with our identity, I just want to make two points from this whole passage. One from the first 3-4 verses, one from the last 3 or 4. Our identity in Christ is that we are adopted. And we are redeemed. That's central to who we are. This isn't peripheral things. This isn't add-ons. This is absolutely central to who we are. Adopted and redeemed. I'm going to reread the verses 3-6 and then make a couple extra comments before we get into the adopted piece. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. I want to make an extra comment here on the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every. And he's not kidding. He fully, fully blesses us. Every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places. That's the eternal, the unseen, very real realm. If you're in adult Sunday school going through a series on the spiritual battle, a very real place. That's where he's blessed us. It's eternal. It's unseen. But make no bones about it. The unseen impacts the seen and the temporal. It impacts this world. So he blesses us in the spiritual world, but it has impact in this world. There's lots more I'd love to say there, but I'm going to refrain and show something. But I want to make a second comment about being chosen and predestined. I think there's a lot of confusion about this. This is absolutely true, for one. We are chosen before, however it says it there, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He did choose us. He still chooses us. And he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. That's absolutely true. But it can't mean predetermined unequivocally. He has chosen, but Scripture is very clear in several, many places actually, that we have a responsibility to actually receive that. It doesn't force adoption on us. It's different than adopting a baby, right? They have no choice. But if you're adopting an older person, or being legal guardians over someone would be maybe a better picture for us, but they actually have a choice in the matter. They can receive this. He's inviting us into an incredible relationship, home, everything else. And yet, there's both and. He chose. It is a work of God. And it needs to be accepted by the person. And it's both and. And I know some church traditions swing one way or the other really, really hard. And I just don't see that in Scripture. It's both and in Scripture. There's both. It is a work of God, absolutely. And we have a choice. We need to respond and accept. John chapter 1, verses 9 to 13 is one place. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But, that's a big but to all who did receive him and believed in his name, in other words, took on his name, accepted the adoption, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is of God, and it is us receiving, who believed and received him. Okay, enough about a couple of comments there. Our identity is that we are adopted by a loving, caring Heavenly Father. Better than the best dad. Way better than me. This is a Father who always knows what we really need and is there providing it for us in dialogue. Just the most nurturing, godly, get it? He is God. What a loving Heavenly Father we have. So many scriptures unpack it. So many of his names and titles reflect this caring, nurturing God that he calls us into relationship with him. I want to back up just for a moment. How do we even know that there is a God? Well, one, Scripture says, Scripture and even our own consciences know that there is a God. Creation reveals that there is a God. Remember, they both start with C, I like alliteration. Conscience and creation, we know that there is a God. I mean, people can try and deny it, but many scientists have discovered there is a God by pursuing science. How do we know that he's loving and kind and caring? Well, Scripture doesn't really make that clear. And not necessarily our conscience either. But the written revelation, God's Word, reveals God's character. And the second way, also starts with R, is relationship. When we actually know him and are walking with him, right? He walks with me and he talks with me. We can love to sing that song, but it needs to be a reality in our lives. One of the reasons we're meeting to talk about small groups after this service is because we really do need that kind of intimate relationship with God. And we can have it. He's adopted us as sons and daughters, as children of the King. Ponder the character of God and our response to him as you watch this video clip. This is a longer video, some time to think. But consider this story by Max Lucado as it unfolds.
The Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes, and some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. All day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of Golden Star stickers and a box of Grey Dot stickers. Up and down the street, all over the city, people spent their day sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around him and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then, when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many grey dots that people would come up to him and give him dots for no reason at all. "He deserves lots of dots," the people would agree with one another. "He's not a good person." After a while, Punchinello believed them. "I'm not a good Wemmick," he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around with other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up to her and give her a star. But it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot. But it wouldn't stay either. "That's the way I want to be," thought Punchinello. "I don't want anyone's marks." So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. "It's easy," Lucia replied. "Every day I go and see Eli."
"Eli?"
"Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him."
"Why?"
"Why don't you find out yourself? Go up the hill. He's there." And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away.
"But will he want to see me?"
Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots.
"It's not right,"
he muttered to himself, and he decided to go and see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard.
"I'm not staying here."
And he turned to leave. And then he heard his name.
"Punchinello?"
The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped.
"Punchinello, how good to see you. Come, and let me have a look at you."
Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman.
"You know my name?"
the little Wemmick asked.
"Of course I do. I made you."
Eli stooped down and picked him up and sat him on the bench.
The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the grey dots. Looks like you have been given some bad marks.
I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard.
Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think.
You don't?
No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are pretty special.
Punchinello laughed.
Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. What do I matter to you?
Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly.
Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me.
Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say.
Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained.
I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello.
I know. She told me about you.
Why don't the stickers stay on her?
The maker spoke softly.
Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them.
What?
The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers.
I'm not sure I understand.
Eli smiled.
You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care.
Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground.
Remember,
Eli said as the Wemmick walked out of the door,
you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes.
Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
Do you know how much you matter to him? Do you hear him regularly, consistently, constantly? Or is there too many other voices, too many other opinions? Invites us in an incredible, intimate relationship, adopted as sons and daughters. We take advantage of that. Move in. Know that he delights in us. We can remain in him as he remains in us. Abide in him. Abide in me, he says, Christ. It takes effort. It takes going up the hill daily. It takes intentionality to choose to believe what he says over what others say. We're adopted. Do we know it? Do we live it? We're also redeemed. The second part of this passage. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Our identity is that we're adopted. Our identity is that we're redeemed. We're redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, all our sins, all our everything that we've done, we've rebelled against him, according to the riches of his grace. He lavished. The word lavished is like dumping a truckload. It's not just giving up his little way morsel. He's been super generous with us. Lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. Yes, it's his choosing. I choose. I want to be in relationship with you. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him. Things in heaven and on earth. The Wemmick story was the main thing I could, illustration I could think about with adoption. But it's a process we need to understand and go up the hill daily and receive really who we are in Christ. The best story I think I can tell in regards to redemption, it's been told different ways, whatever else, but there's a girl who made a model boat painstakingly. Details, did things that she thought was really special and unique in that boat. Carved parts of it, cut out others, made this incredible sailboat, hooked up a little thing so she can control it remotely. A remote sailboat could just move the sail. She got pretty good with it, playing out on the lake, invited friends and played with it for hours, just delighted and loved this little thing, playing with it. So then she got riskier. She took it to a stream. And she's trying to control it. Well, it got out in the fast rapids and got carried away. She's chasing it down the stream, but she couldn't keep up, and it was gone. It was lost. Missed a great friend. So she's sad. She's wandering around. One day she passes a pawn shop. There it is in the window. She goes in there. Hey, this is mine. I carved it. I made it. I can tell you all about it. The owner says, well, I don't know. It's this price. He says a big price. She goes, oh. Well, don't sell it to anyone else. I'll find a way to earn that money. And she goes out. She works hard. She earns that money. And she's absolutely delighted the day she has enough. She goes back to that pawn shop, and she bought it back. When she's walking out of the shop, she says, I made you. And now I bought you back. I own you twice. That's an illustration of redemption. That we are redeemed. He made us. In an essence, all people are God's children. And we've all rebelled against him. And we needed to be purchased back. And Jesus pays that price. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But in Jesus, we have forgiveness. He's bought us back. He's the only one who could. He's the sinless Savior of the world, of us specifically. Do we really know that? Do we know how dearly we are loved? Are there others around us? Do they know? Maybe you need to be a Lucia to someone else. Point them. Go meet with him. Come and meet with God with me at clubs this week or in Sunday school. Well, the series is called Living in Our Identity and Out of Our Identity. So how do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? Well, I said I-D-O-D. We need to identify the parts. Identify what it means that we, what our true identity is. Go on the defensive, push back against the false. Go on the offensive, take on what is true, and discipline to move forward. Our identity is that we're adopted and redeemed. Again, these aren't secondary things. This is core to who we are. We're adopted by Almighty God if we're followers of Jesus. And we're redeemed. We're bought back. We need to go on the defensive and go get rid of the lies that we're unwanted, that we don't measure up, that we're not worth it. He says, you're worth dying for. You're worth extending my love to, which he continually does. His mercy, his grace, you're worth it. And I want relationship with you. Go on the offensive. Believe it, that we're chosen. We're chosen. We're twice owned, been bought back. That he takes delight in us. Delights in us over with us with singing. And he desires relationship with us. We're worth it. But it's hard to believe this when we're taking in so many false messages. We got to go and really defend against false messages. Go on the offensive. Meet with him regularly. Go up the hill to his workshop. Meet with God regularly, consistently, or we will be deceived and we will not be living in our true identity, who we really are. What are we believing? What are we dwelling on? And are we acting in line with our true identity? I want to close with this thought. I heard this recently. A woman passed away. I'm pretty sure she had passed away. The beginning of the story was a little confusing, but I'm pretty sure she had already passed away. This is some years ago. And her family found her Bible. Down the margins, quite a few pages of her Bible, sometimes there would be a single P. Other places there would be a double P. In other places there was a triple P. And her family got discussing this, and some of them knew what the code was. The P stood for promise. He's a God who keeps his promises. Take hold of that promise, of the truth he says. The PP was precious promise. Something struck her uniquely about that, and she would write precious promise. Then one of the kids, well, what's the triple P? That was precious promise provided. She'd experienced God personally. And just like the little Wemmick, wow, I think he really means it. And he leaves and the dot falls off. That's experiencing God. That's what we really need. I said earlier, how do we know there is a God? Well, our conscience, we're built that way. We know there's a God. We're created to worship something. People worship whether they know God or not. Creation reveals there's a God. How do we know he's good and loving and draws us into relationship? Well, that's through his revelation, his word. And through relationship. Some of you are pretty young here. You're going to go away to college and university in a few years. Many say no to knowing God in their college and university years. Those who don't, it's because they know him personally. You can't get them to question God's love when they're actively experiencing it. Precious promise provided. And they can tell specific stories how God has met them personally and powerfully, and they're moving forward with him. We need to believe God's word. We need to act on it and draw near to God, understanding we are adopted, we are redeemed. Our adoption is so much more than a legal document. It's an intimate relationship, and it's a conversation. It's not just a religion and knowing about God. It's knowing him personally. Remain in me as I remain in you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Walk with me and talk with me and so many other things. Experience God, not just know about him. Learn to stand firm. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know God personally, not just about him. Are you doing that? Do you know you're a dearly loved, adopted and redeemed? Heavenly Father, we struggle with this. There's so many lies on our planet, some of them coming from within our own hearts and minds.